I want to share a little bit with you of how this Bible study came about, just because I think you might find it a little bit interesting. I originally had it in my heart when we finished up Galatians last fall. The one thing that was kind of rolling around in my heart was, well, it would be really great to do a walking with study and walk with the beloved disciple John. That was so kind of seated in my heart. And we've discussed a little bit, some of the table leaders and I discussed, and I thought that I knew it would be challenging because we'd have about 8 or 9 weeks, and I thought, oh my goodness, this disciple who probably lived the longest and wrote the biggest portion of the New Testament of those original disciples, I thought, how would you boil that down into 8 weeks? But I began kind of choosing about eight, mountaintop experiences that John had and began kind of outlining those. And then something kind of evolved a little bit, and I can describe it this way. Have you ever laid in bed and just thought about, what am I going to wear? Right? Like for something important or even something not so important. You lay in bed and you plan an outfit. Right? Has anybody else done that? Okay, do we all do that? And every day? And while you're horizontal laying in bed, you're putting all these pieces together and you're going, yeah, that'll work out good. And then you go into your closet and the pants are too short for the shoes that you wanted to wear. And the scarf doesn't really go with the jacket that you thought. And you begin switching up and changing and throwing out this and throwing out that. Well, that's a little bit what happened with how I was planning the Bible study. I laid and I thought, oh, it's going to be great. And then I began putting it together. And it's like, well, put that over there and put that over there. And anyway, what we finally ended up with was an evolution of the original one. And I got really excited about the final product, which is walking with Jesus, the great I Am. I have a question for you. Do things ever happen to you that way when you're setting out to do something for the Lord? Does it always just go on track exactly the way you thought? I'm glad to hear that laughter because, I think we kind of have a connotation that the spiritual person just hears from God. And it's like, this is what I'm supposed to do, and you just go and do it. But there's some kind of changes that go along the way. So maybe that's a whole different conversation, but maybe we all have that in common. Two things happened to me along the way that I think produced this better outfit that we're going to have for this spring, and I want to share those with you. One is that I was listening to Paul on a Wednesday night in December teach from Exodus chapter 3. And it was the passage where God had spoke to Moses from the burning bush and revealed himself, I am who I am. We'll come back to that in just a minute. And as he was teaching, I kind of, I looked up at all of our I am statements around the auditorium, and I began kind of drawing a link. And I want to share with you why those statements are important to me, not only just because they're great, but back in 2006, I think, when we first moved into our auditorium, I can remember because Aaron and Laura got married that year, and so I have these. In fact, we lived up in the parking lot that summer, Paul and I and Tim and Alyssa. We lived in two trailers up in the parking lot because we were moving to a different house. But so we were painting the auditorium, and Susan Kurth had the suggestion. She said, if we put some panels around the auditorium, we could write some scriptures. And of course, that was becoming very popular in our homes to have vinyl lettering and all that kind of stuff. Well, that's not vinyl lettering. She did that all by hand. Wow. Yeah, it's beautiful. Well, Paul let me choose what scriptures we were going to put up there. And so I remember standing in the auditorium and just looking around. And that's one of those times there was no change in path. It's like I remember standing there and thinking, well, there's seven of them. We need to do the seven I Am's of Jesus. And it just came together and boom, we moved on. But actually there's eight panels. That's the long one on the north wall. So we chose the one additional I Am from Revelation, which is in our study too. So they're kind of precious to me just because my husband gifted me that choice about 6 years ago. Back to Exodus. So in December, Paul was teaching this passage, and you probably know it. Maybe several of you have taught it. Maybe you've taught it in Sunday school, you know, Moses and the burning bush. But that's kind of where I want to start for our introduction today to launch us into this study. And I feel like my job today is just to whet your appetite for the study. After today, I lied just a little bit, calling it an 8-week study, because actually there's today and then 8 weeks. So it is an 8-week study on the I am statements. But my job today is just to whet your appetite, to really want to study those passages of Scripture. So I want to start in Exodus chapter 3. You can listen or you can open your Bibles, whatever you really prefer to do. But I'm just going to kind of tell you the story. Moses had already left Egypt. He was tending his father-in-law's sheep in Midian. I think at this time in his life, you could call Moses an underachiever. 40 years now, he's been tending his father-in-law's sheep. He doesn't even seem to have his own sheep. You know, that's kind of just what we would consider in our culture, someone who hasn't produced very much with their life by this point. And one day, he sees up on the mountain, he sees a bush that's on fire, and it doesn't seem to ever extinguish, and so he goes to explore. And the Lord speaks to him from that experience. He speaks to him from that bush, and he calls him by name, and he begins to express some things to Moses. God had determined that the time was right to take his people, the children born from Abraham, who were still in Egypt, and to bring them into the land that he promised them. God had determined that the time was right. And so God reveals to Moses something that's going to relate to Moses about his life, his calling, and his mission. God was calling Moses at this point to play a different role in God's story. He was calling him to something brand new for him, something that would be a specific ministry. It would require a move. It would require a change and a level of faith and trust that Moses hadn't really experienced before. God could have done this all by himself. He didn't need Moses. But we find something about the heart of the Lord through this. And that is God's character is to include us in his story. It's God's plan to work with and through his people. It was that way before Jesus, and it's definitely that way today. We are workers together with him as he unfolds his plan on earth. And that's something I want us all to think about and take away from this. It's God's story. It's God's plan. But he comes to each one of us and says, I have a part for you. Let me explain it. And that's what he was doing to Moses at this point in time. Pretty much more flamboyant than God's ever spoken to any of us, right? No burning bushes in my life. I don't know about you. Maybe we each get one or two sort of defining moments where we know God has directed us a certain way. But like I said, burning bushes, So God was calling Moses to live out his life in God's strength and power. And Moses has a couple questions for God. The first question that he asks in Exodus 3:11, Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? His second question was, who are you? If we read verses 13 and 14, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites. And I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are saying to the Israelites. I am sent me to you. Honestly, those are brilliant questions. Who am I and who are you? All of life can be summed up. I mean, those are the two most important questions about our existence. Who am I and who is God? Now, if it was me, I would have asked all the dumb questions. I would have said, oh, when do we go? How are you going to do this? Does my family come along? Are we going to come back here? Do I have to pack a cooler? Because every time I go on a trip, I got to pack a cooler, you know? I would have asked all of those. But Moses cuts right to the chase, and he asks the super important questions. Who am I? And who are you? He was also thinking about other people. He knew that the descendants of Abraham in slavery, they knew their God through experiences. And in the past, God had associated a new name with experiences that he had with his people. Let me tell you what I mean. With Abraham in particular, I pulled out three of them. When Abraham met with Melchizedek in Genesis 14, he called on El Elyon, God Most High. That was a specific, important name associated with that experience. When God renewed his covenant with Abraham, he revealed himself as El Shaddai, God Almighty, a new specific name related to that experience. When Abraham was taking his son Isaac up the mountain, thinking that it was going to be a sacrifice, and God provided the ram, he revealed himself as Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. So a name of God that was associated with an experience and a relationship with his people. Now, I've never technically done a study on the Old Testament names of God. When I grow up, I will do that. Can I just be honest? I don't want to offend anybody who loves that, because I will love it someday. I will love it. But can I just be vulnerable with you and tell you they sound ancient, they sound untouchable, and I shouldn't say it that way. They're wonderful. I just haven't gotten to the point where I can like totally wrap my mind around these ancient sounding names. And I think that this study for me at this level of my spiritual life is an attempt to wrap my mind around not so ancient sounding names. Like, I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. Things that I can just grasp. So we'll do this study, and then maybe someday we can do a study on the Old Testament names of God. But in a way, what I want you to hear is our study is the New Testament revelation of that same perspective of the Old Testament names of God, where God gave a name to people based on an experience and a relationship that he wanted to have with them. All the names that we're going to do, you can pronounce. You don't have to worry about it. Everybody knows how to say vine or gate, you know. It's going to work out great. So Moses knew he was going to need some credentials from someone bigger than himself to share with the people of Israel. And God answered Moses, and he said, I am who I am. Tell them, I am sent you. This is the name that Moses was to tell them. It's not a whole lot to it. I want to borrow and read a little bit from a book that I've asked Amber to stock in the bookstore for you. And they should come in soon, maybe even this weekend. She is a bargain hunter, and so she found this book that she can sell in the bookstore for $10 flat, hardcover book. It is called I Am Not, But I Know I Am. Are you getting the point of why we did our little opening, you know, I am, I am not. Okay. And I really just want to encourage you. You don't have any investment in this study. You didn't have to buy a book or anything. So if you got $10 in your pocket, you will enjoy this as a companion to this study. So I just want to read a little bit from where we are in our opening this morning. God was in no way obligated to answer, yet without hesitation, he did. To this aged shepherd, God revealed his name, saying, I am who I am. Tell them, I am sent me to you. What? I'm pretty sure Moses didn't get it right away. In fact, he was probably thinking, that's what I'm asking you, God, who are you? And the reply comes back, I am. That's who. Your name is I am. That's right, Moses. My name is I am who I am. My name is I am. I wonder how long it took for God's name to register in Moses' brain. In English, the name I am translates into the verb to be, or simply be. Therefore, God's name is be. I am. I be. Not great grammar, I know, but powerful theology. God knew it was imperative for Moses to know who he was, that he was I am. I am is the present tense active form of the verb to be. As God's name, it declares that he is unchanging, constant, unending, always present, always God. God was telling Moses, I am the center of everything. I am running the show. I am the same every day forever. I am the owner of everything. I am the Lord. I am the creator. I am the sustainer of life. I am the savior. I am more than enough. I am inexhaustible and immeasurable. I am God. In a heartbeat, Moses knew God's name and something more. He finally knew his. Remember his first question, who am I? For if God's name is I am, Moses' name must be I am not. I am not the center of everything. I am not in control. I am not the solution. I am not all-powerful. I am not calling the shots. I am not the owner of anything. I am not the Lord. That's my name too, and yours. I am not. Just try it under your breath. My name is I am not. I am not running anything. I am not the head of anything. I am not in charge of anything. I am not the maker. I am not the savior. I am not holding it all together. I am not all-knowing. I am not God. Sure, people might call you Tommy or Eddie or Amanda or Michelle, but let's face it, when you get right down to it, all of our names are I am not, and God's name is still I am. Isn't that powerfully written? So I hope I whet your appetite for that book as well. But did you catch something in there? He said that I am is the present tense active form of the verb to be. And this is where we connect the dots with our beloved disciple, John, who listened to Jesus, mulled things over, and through the power of the Holy Spirit wrote his gospel. And at the end of his gospel, in John chapter 20, verse 31, he wrote about his gospel. He said, these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. It's like John is saying, I have a name for you. Jesus is the present tense, active form of I am. And then not only that, but he recorded what Jesus said in John 10:10. I have come that they may have life in my name and have it, what? More abundantly. So we're connecting some dots here. One other thing that I love that Mark recorded for us in chapter 8 is a conversation from Jesus and his disciples as they were walking along in the villages. And one day Jesus asked them, he looked at his disciples and he says, who did the people say I am? And they replied, well, some say that you're John the Baptist, and others say that you're Elijah, and still others say you're one of the prophets. And Jesus said, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Christ. I love that passage. It is so epic. It needs like Lord of the Rings music behind it, doesn't it? It's just epic. And especially as we're studying, as we're kind of building up this concept, these two words, I am, and Jesus says to his disciples, who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. Oh, I just love it. So to Moses, God simply said, I am who I am. And he left the details open-ended. That was enough for Moses. That was his revelation, an open-ended revelation. But when Jesus came, his intention was to fill in the present tense details. That's what we're going to study. I am the bread of life. When you are spiritually, emotionally, relationally hungry, I will give you what you need to sustain you. I am the light of the world. When you feel crushed by the darkness, blinded around you and inside of you, I will give you clear vision. I will light your path. I am the good shepherd. When you feel defenseless, alone, alienated, or lost, I will seek you out, carry you, tend your bruises, lead you to times of refreshment. I am here working in your life. I am Jesus. So as we launch into 2013, is there a possibility that God is calling you to play a role in his story? Maybe a role that you've already been playing. Some of our roles last a long time. I have a 15-year-old at home. I've been mothering at home for a long time. Maybe God is calling you to something brand new, something that will require a change, a move, a level of trust in God that you have not experienced before. Our purpose in this study is to explore what John wrote to increase our faith and our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And that by believing that we'll not only have life in his name, but life more abundantly. So that's why we're calling it Walking with Jesus, the Great I Am. Now, I want to share a little bit of something, because when we talk about maybe studying the book of John or something like that, well, let me say it this way. In this study, you might think, oh, but there's so many good things that we didn't get to. We didn't get to Nicodemus. We didn't get to the woman at the well. We didn't get to the transfiguration. We didn't get to all those other things. Well, it's like this. When Paul and I lived in Great Falls, Montana in the 80s, here we were, two young kids from the flat Midwest, and now we were right up against the mountains. And so what did we do? Every weekend in our little Honda Prelude, we would drive up to Glacier National Park. We loved that place. There were so many things to see, so many things to do. How many of you have ever been there? Yeah, it's a glorious place. And there's the Going to the Sun Highway. There's, you know, Logan Pass. There's Lake McDonald. We went up there a lot. But in the fall, we went there and we only looked at one thing. We would drive up and we'd go around to the back end of the park, and we'd come in and we'd go to a place called the Middle Fork of the Flathead River, and we'd park in a parking lot. We'd walk over to the bridge over the river, and we would stand on the bridge, and all we did when we went to the park was we would watch about 300 bald eagles sitting up in the trees and swooping down and coming and picking up the salmon. It was glorious. It was so cool. And they would sit up in the trees, and then they would just sort of like just fall out of a tree, and, you know, put their wings out and just soar down and effortlessly pick up the salmon. And it was so majestic. Anyway, my point is, that's the only thing we did at the park in the fall. We're going to John. The only thing that we're going to do is watch the eagles. Okay, we're going to go and just look at the passages that surround I am. So I want to tell you that just so that you don't feel like, well, I missed out. This time around, all we're going to do is do that. And I think it will be great. Format-wise for our study, normally you've got about 15 minutes to grab a coffee, to visit, to catch up. We'll have some worship. We'll try and get started with the teaching right at 10 o'clock. We'll try to be done right at 10:30. And then we will have an opportunity for about 15 to 20 minutes to discuss at your tables the homework that is always on the back table. So, for example, this week, next week's homework is on the back table. The homework is designed one page per day. Just one page, and I listened to your input, and I tried to make it very obvious which week we were doing. I even put dates on there, so it says it's for January 18th. It says day one. Hopefully that'll eliminate some confusion of what we're doing. So today you can pick up the homework for next week. I really want to encourage you. This is written very, very simply. A mom with a bunch of kids should be able to do this in just 5 minutes or so. Now, if you want to turn this into an hour-long Bible study, you can do that. You just have to dig a little bit more on your own. But the purpose of this is to give you give you at home a little bit of a look on your own with the Holy Spirit of what it is that we're going to discuss on each Friday. So you're on your own to pick those up in the back. We'll have discussion, and then we will do prayer partners, which we'll talk about in just a minute. But I just wanted to explain to you what the dynamics of the morning would look like. My heart is that you're free to go about your day by about 11:15, okay? So I don't want this to be like I don't want you to feel like, oh my goodness, I can't go to women's Bible study because it takes up my whole morning, okay? You should be able to be free to leave around 11 or 11:15 or so. So, and then the last thing I wanted to point out is on this little piece of paper that you had on your table where you wrote I am and I am not, there's kind of a syllabus that says which lessons we're doing on which weeks, and so that'll kind of help keep you on track a little bit too. I just want to close with the last paragraph of this book to kind of put an exclamation point on our study. And what does this great I am say of himself? He says to you and me, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the resurrection and the life, I am Savior, I am Jesus, the solution, the restorer, the builder, the answer, the wise one, the coming one, the mighty one. I am the Lord and there is no other. I am God and there is none beside me. I am the first and the last. I am Alpha Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will not give my glory to another or any of my praise to idols. I am that I am, and that is my name, my memorial name to every single generation. Father, I just want to thank you for a time to share together in your word, to be encouraged from your heart, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you would stir up in each of our hearts just that awareness of our place in your story, your desire, Lord, to use us for your kingdom and for your glory. And Lord, along the way, would you help us to know your name? Would you help us to know who you are in relation to us and in experience to us, Lord, that we would see your work through the experiences that we have in life. Father, I pray for each one that's here today. Thank you, Lord God, for the ability to come together, to share together, and I pray, Father God, that you would do a new work in each of our hearts, whether we've studied these passages before or never read them. Lord, your Spirit is there to give us something brand new each time. And so we just commit these times to you and invite your presence to be among us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.